Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning. So today I'm not sharing about the fundraising, but I'm really privileged to be here to share God's word and God's work in my life. And I'm so thankful to our senior pastors for giving me this opportunity to do so as part of our Disciple Singapore series. Now, I've titled my sermon this morning as Known, because in the Bible passage that we'll be looking at in a short while, we'll first uncover the unknown gods in our marketplace. And secondly, we will discover and rediscover the known God in our lives. But first, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning that you will open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to the truth that you wish to speak to us. And may your Spirit speak to us in a personal, deep, and meaningful way to each and every one of us here today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, many of you know me as the seed fund guy. So I was told that it would be helpful to share a little bit about myself, my life, my family, and my work. So firstly, this is a very rare family photo where five of us are looking in the camera at the same time and trying to smile. So in the middle is our oldest girl, Zoe. She's 9 years old this year. And then on your right is Aaron, who's turning 6 at the end of the year. And next to him is this little noisy terror called Noah, and he's turning 3 in a few months' time. And there on the left is my lovely bride, Ying Jie, who has loved me for the past 10 years, despite all my nonsense. And in my work, I run a tuition business that specializes in teaching general paper, or GP, to junior college students. And I'm so thankful to God that in the past 15 years, He has helped me to both manage the business and also to teach GP to my students. Now this morning, as we dive into our sermon, let me first ask us to imagine a city where the people are well-educated and affluent. The government is run efficiently and is also renowned internationally for its diplomatic ties. Okay, which city comes to mind? Most of us would think of 21st century Singapore, right? I mean, after all, we're only 5 days away from National Day. But you know, what you just read is not a description of Singapore today, but it's actually taken from a history textbook description of first century Athens. And that is our historical setting for the Bible passage from the book of Acts. But as we shall see, there are lots of similarities between then and now, and many precious spiritual lessons for us to glean. So if you have your Bibles with me, can you turn to Acts? And we'll be looking at chapter 17, verses 16 to 28. Acts chapter 17, verses 16 to 28. Now, this is a fairly long passage, and I won't be going through every single verse, but allow me to summarize and highlight a few verses for us. So in the first verse that we see, Paul is in the city of Athens, and he discovered that there were many idols in that city. Further down, he addressed the people of Athens, and he made reference to a particular altar that he saw with this inscription on it, to the unknown God. And finally, in the last few verses, Paul asked the people of Athens to turn to the one true God, who not only created the heavens and the earth, but he is also intimately involved in the lives of the people that he created. So, some of you are wondering, what has this got to do with discipling Singapore and impacting the marketplace? But as we have seen, there are similarities between then and the modern-day Singapore we live in today. And in the past few weeks, we had the wonderful privilege of listening to various preachers share with us on these different themes as part of our Disciple Singapore sermon series. And I really believe that these are vital aspects of how we can live out our Christian faith in our everyday life and in our society. But beyond the visible actions that we carry out in our lives, I also believe that there are the invisible worldviews, philosophies, values, beliefs that we carry around in our heads and that will shape our decisions, and our life. So this morning, I believe that this passage from Acts 17 will speak powerfully to us that in order to disciple Singapore and impact the marketplace, we need to first uncover the unknown gods, especially those that are unspoken, uncovered, unchallenged. So let's start by looking at these two verses in Acts 17, and it says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the agora, day by day, with those who happened to be there. Now, the first word that stands out for most of us is this Greek word agora. And translated into English, this word means marketplace. So when we talk about the marketplace, it's not just the marketplace of our work, our vocations, our professional lives, but it's also the marketplace of ideas, of values, of philosophies that wrestle for our mind space and that will shape our decisions and our lives. Now, the second word that will stand out for most of us is this word, idols. Okay, so if you see the word idols, what is the first image that comes to mind? Okay, let me give you a few seconds, right? When you see the word idols, what comes to mind? Okay, now, do they look like these? Yeah, like the idols we read in the Old Testament, right? Idols like Dagon or Marduk or Baal, right? For me personally, when I think of idols, the first image that comes to mind is this little table in my grandmother's kitchen when I was growing up. So I remember that on this table, it was near the window, and there will always be statues of deities and plates of food on that table. And because I was raised by my grandmother, one core memory of my childhood that I retain up to this day is the yummy smell of her cooking mixed together with the smell of burning incense. But you know, we say we are modern people, we don't worship idols made of stone or bronze or gold. How about these idols? Okay, if you recognize or don't recognize some of these celebrity idols, you know which generation you belong to. And you may also know that you've been watching too much Korean drama. Now, all these, of course, can be idols. But I believe that our modern-day idols in Singapore are far more hidden, far more invisible, and far more insidious than these. Look at what Timothy Keller writes in his book, Counterfeit Gods. He says that the human heart takes good things like a successful career, love, material possessions, even family, and turn them into ultimate things. We think that idols are bad things, but that's almost never the case. The greater the good, the more likely we are to expect that it can satisfy our deepest needs and hope. Anything can serve as a counterfeit god, especially the very best things in life. So perhaps, in the modern society and marketplace we live in, our idols may not look like these, but they may look like these. They may look like these. And I've deliberately chosen icons in monochrome, black and white, to reinforce the point that the idols in our society, whether they be career, success, money, or even family, are often so hidden and in the background that we no longer sometimes notice them or even challenge them. The Anglican minister and author Tish Harrison Warren says that part of why idols can remain invisible to us is that they're often not individual in nature. Typically, communities, countries, and cultures have particular idols which become so normative that they are no longer recognized as idols. They become the water we swim in. You know, this reminds me of a cartoon that I saw some time ago. And it's a cartoon of these two young fish swimming in the ocean. And one morning, an older fish swam by them and asked, "Morning, boys, how's the water?" And after the older fish swam away, one of the younger fish turned to the other fish and said, "What was he talking about? What is water? What is water?" Sometimes we have swam so long in the waters of our culture that we no longer recognize what's in the water or even what is water anymore. And I believe that in the next verse that we are looking at, the Apostle Paul reinforces this idea. Look at verse 23. He says, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Now, Bible historians who studied this period found that there were some 30,000 deities and altars in the city of Athens at this time. 30,000. You know, there was even a joke that says that in Athens at the time, it was easier to find a god than to find a man. And I believe that part of the reason why is because the people of Athens then, they are a little bit like us today in Singapore, kiasu. They suffer from FOMO, fear of missing out. That even after having 30,000 altars, they were afraid that they may have missed out one or two deities. So they had one right inscription that says, to the unknown God, just in case. Kiasu. But you know, we ask ourselves today in the Singapore we live in, what are the unknown gods in our own marketplace? Could it be the dream of financial freedom? Or the next house or car upgrade? Or even the desire for early retirement? Or even wanting the very best, comfortable, secure future for our children? Now, personally, God has uncovered two unknown gods in my life that I'd like to share with us this morning. And I believe and I hope that my stories and my experience will resonate with some of us. Now, the first unknown God is in the area of my work and wanting to maximize and optimize my productivity. Right? And nothing wrong with that, right? Okay, so don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with wanting to work hard and be diligent and be efficient in our work. But as we saw earlier, even good things can become idols if you're not careful. You know, in Singapore, the hustle culture can so easily turn into a relentless pursuit of financial security, material possessions, or even greed. For myself personally, in the education industry, one of the default objectives is to have more and more students, to increase the number of classes, to grow the enrollment. Nothing wrong with that. But I also realize that this more is better mindset can so easily be subtle and unhealthy. So towards the end of last year, while I'm thankful that my business was growing, I also felt that the success of my work was starting to take me away from other things in my life. Time with Yingjie, time being present with the kids, time doing things I love to do like reading, or even time spent with God. So I resolved at the beginning of this year to take away one day from the week of classes and not to teach. And this decision comes at a cost. Because firstly, there were already students in these classes on this day. So I had to shift them around to other days, and not all of them could make it to different class timings. So I had to lose some students. Secondly, I also got scolded by some parents because they inquired last year to join classes this year on that day. And they even rearranged their children's schedules to do that. So when they caught this year and I told them, sorry, no more classes on this day, they were not so pleased. But for those of them who asked, I did share with them the reason so that I could spend more time with my family and with God. Recently, I was quite amused that this local movie, Money No Enough, has a part three that came out this year at the beginning. And to me, I'm just so tickled because Jack Neo can make a movie, three movies, out of this idea of money no enough. And that tells me how ingrained, how embedded this mindset is in our marketplace and society. Yes, money no enough. But more money often comes with a price tag. And that price has to be paid. Whether it is our time, our family, our health, our Sabbath rest, or even time spent serving God and His people. Yes, money no enough. But money will never be enough until and unless we realize that the pursuit of more and more is a little bit like running on the treadmill in the gym. It keeps you constantly moving, but gets you ultimately nowhere. The second unknown God that God surfaced in my life is this area of my children's future. And this was around the time when Zoe was about to enter Primary 1. I have no idea why our system has to make it such that the P1 registration process is such a nail-biting, hair-tearing, heart-wrenching process. And parents with young kids, you know what I mean. So you know, when Zoe was growing up in the early years, Ingsie and I decided to be cool parents. We wanted to let Zoe and our children have stress-free childhood, you know, not so concerned about academics or their future, until 2 or 3 years before Zoe was about to enter P1, we started to have friends, relatives, parents come to us and ask, "Hey, which school is Zoe going to?" And then we told them that we live in an old housing estate. There are not that many primary schools in the vicinity, so we'll just make do with a school that's nearby for convenience. You know, and Ingsie and I didn't sign up to be parent volunteers in any school, and we couldn't qualify for the alumni admission route as well, because the primary school I attended years ago closed down 1 year after I left. I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with me. I hope. But then, you know, our friends and relatives, with all good intentions, I'm sure, ask further. "So why don't you shift house, right, to somewhere where there are more choice primary schools?" And Ingsie and I did think about this for a while, but we realized that we wouldn't want to do that. Firstly, because we really love the housing estate we live in. And secondly, we realized that if we did do that for this reason, it would have been out of a desire to shape and control our children's future a bit, to buy some security for our children, and really it would be out of fear. And more importantly, we realized that if we did this for this reason, we would have engineered God out of the decision-making process. So we are so thankful that we surrendered this to God, and today Zoe is very happy in a nearby neighborhood school that she's in. But I realized that this unknown God, this idol of wanting to control my future, my family's future, can be so insidious and subtle. Now, I must qualify that these are my personal stories and these are the personal ways that God has uncovered the unknown gods in my life. And there's nothing wrong with working hard, growing a business, right? It's not about whether you shift house or don't shift house. But what is important are the reasons why we do it. And I believe that for each and every one of us, God can uncover different unknown gods if you allow Him to. So why do I share these stories with us? And again, what has this got to do with discipling Singapore and impacting the marketplace? Because I truly believe that in discipling Singapore, our decisions matter. The way we live our lives, the way we do our work, the way we pursue success and significance, the way we parent our children, the way we steward our money, all these can reflect the unknown gods in our lives and in our society. And the daily decisions that we make can either point people to a countercultural way of living that Jesus teaches as part of His kingdom living, or our decisions can conform to the world's values and be not different from what the world advocates. Our friends will not always read the social media posts when we share about our Christian faith. Our friends will not always respond positively when we invite them to church or even to Alpha, but they will always, always see the decisions that we make every day. Our decisions matter. But then we ask, okay, we have uncovered the unknown gods in our life. Where do we go from here? How do we get rid of these idols? And that's where I move to the second part of our sermon, and I'll share with us that there's bad news and good news. First of all, the bad news is that on our own, we can't. We can't get rid of these idols. Look at what John Calvin said way back in the 16th century. He says that we can't will ourselves to remove these idols because the heart is a perpetual idol factory. It will just keep manufacturing new idols. You uproot these idols, they will grow back again. That's the bad news. But the good news is that with God's help, we can. We may not be able to remove the idols, but we can replace them with something or someone far more life-giving than the unknown gods we may have worshipped. Look at what the 19th century Scottish preacher Thomas Chalmers says. "The only way to dispossess the heart of an old affection is by the expulsive power of a new one. Thus, it is not enough to hold out to the world the mirror of its own imperfections. Rather, try every legitimate method of finding access to your hearts for the love of Him who is greater than the world." The love of Him who is greater than the world. And this is reinforced again by the Apostle Paul. Further down in our passage today, Paul writes in verses 24 to 25, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by men, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." You know, I've titled the second part of my sermon today, not discover the known God, but rediscover the known God in our lives. Because I believe that many of us here today are already Christians, and we already know the truths that are contained in these verses. And if you're like me, sometimes I read these verses and they no longer grip my heart. But I also learned that knowing God in a very intellectual and cognitive way is vastly different from knowing Him in a deep, personal, and intimate way. That is why I believe for us to turn to the known God in our lives, there needs to be a daily communion with Him. Because it is in the dailiness, that's where we can grow in greater intimacy with God. You know, in the busyness of our marketplace, in our society, this part often gets overlooked and marginalized in our lives. And I'm guilty of this. In the morning, before spending time with God, before praying or reading the Bible, the first thing I reach for is my to-do list. Or to reply my WhatsApp business messages. Or to mark the never-ending pile of students' essays. But I believe that if this is not a daily priority for me, it will never happen. It won't happen by accident. It must be intentional. You know, interestingly, one analogy that has helped me in my life is the car signal lights. Okay, so for those of us who drive, right, you know, can you turn your car to turn left or right without flicking the signal light first? Can your car still turn? Of course they can, right? But you shouldn't, lah, right? It's not cool, okay? Signal, on your signal lights. I mean, the whole point is to signal to people, right? But we can, right? We know that whether we flick the signal light or not, the car will still turn. But I told myself early in my driving life that my car will not turn until I have flicked the signal light. So this has made for some very interesting situations where, like in a car park, there's only one direction to turn. I also turn on my signal light. But it's become a habit. Because I believe that in the same way, we can live our lives daily without time spent with God first. But the dailiness is important. And if it's not intentional, it won't happen. So day by day, drop by drop, just like how a cup is slowly being filled, I believe that this daily intimacy with Him who wishes to be known by us will fill our lives with the presence of God, exactly as how the psalmist says in Psalms 23 that our cup runneth over. So in discipling Singapore, I believe that it's not just our decisions that matter. In discipling Singapore, our devotion matters. Our devotion matters. Finally, this brings me to the last part of our sermon and the very final verse in our passage today from verse 28. And Paul says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." You know, how many of us truly believe this in our marketplace, in our work, and in our lives? For myself, it is so tempting to think after 15 years of being in this business that I did it due to my own hard work, due to my talent, due to my clever business strategies. But you know, every time I commune with God and this area of work comes up, I will often hear Him say to me, "Erwin, it is not about you. It's not about what you do, how you strategize, how you plan. It's not even how you teach, but it's all about me. It's all about me in your life." And I'm so thankful for that because daily, this keeps me in a position of humility and gratitude. And for me, my posture to God when it comes to the marketplace and my business is to hold my business with open arms to the Lord and telling Him, "God, this business is your business. And I'm willing to let it go and surrender anytime you ask me to. But in the meantime, when you call me to this work, may I be faithful. May I continue to receive your favor and your grace with gratitude and humility, believing that in you I live and move and have my being. I remember years ago, as I started off my tuition business, I was advised by some friends to put up my academic qualifications and certificates on a wall near the entrance of the tuition center, so that parents, when they come, right, they'll be assured that they're not signing up for some scam tuition center. So I diligently did that, but I also felt led to also put something on that wall next to it. And it's these two verses from Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. And they read, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boasts in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord." So in these past 15 years, I put this on the wall. Even if I shifted different centers, they've always been following me, and it's a reminder for myself, and also for all who will stop and look, that my success, my security in the marketplace is not to be found in the certificates, in the achievements, in my qualifications, but they are to be found in my identity in Christ and my devotion to God. So in conclusion, it is impossible to understand a culture without first uncovering its hidden idols. It is impossible to disciple Singapore without first uncovering the unknown gods in our society and indeed in our very own hearts. But it is possible to discover and rediscover the God who wishes to be known, so that all the decisions that we make in our lives and in the marketplace and in our families will flow out of the devotion to the known God. Now, just as we had 5 weeks of sermons in our Disciples Singapore series, let me now give us 5 reflection questions that I hope will take some time to process with the Lord. Firstly, are there unknown gods in our marketplace and in our lives that we need to ask God to uncover and reveal to us? Secondly, are the decisions I make pointing people to Jesus or conforming to the world's values? Thirdly, is my devotion time with God a daily priority? Fourth, how can I take steps to rediscover or discover the known God who wishes to be known? And finally, how do I live out my life in the marketplace with an understanding that in Him I live and move and have my being? Now, as the worship team comes onto the stage, may I also invite us to just close our eyes and bow our heads. And I'd like to read out these questions again to us slowly, one by one, as we process this with the Lord. So if we just bow our heads and close our eyes. And as a symbol of surrender and consecration and devotion, can I also invite us to lift up our palms, face up to the Lord? So allow me to read these questions to us. And if one of these questions tug at your heart, if the Lord is telling you something, hold on to it. Don't let this moment go, because I truly believe that the Spirit of the living God is here today speaking to us. Firstly, are there unknown gods in our marketplace and lives that we need to ask God to uncover and reveal to us this day? Secondly, are the decisions that I make pointing people to Jesus or conforming to the world's values? Thirdly, is my devotion time with God a daily priority? Fourth, how can I take steps right now to rediscover the God who wishes to be known by His people. Finally, how do I live out my life in the marketplace with this deep understanding that in Him I live and move and have my being? Father Lord, this day I trust that You hear all our prayers right now. Whatever the issue is, whether it's a hidden idol, whether it's something that we have neglected in terms of our devotion to You, Lord, may You speak to us and let Your word take root deeply in our hearts, because we truly believe that when the word of God goes forth, it will not return empty. So this day, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, I pray for myself, Lord, that You continue to work in our lives, whether it's in our families, in the offices, in our army camps, in our schools, in the marketplace, that we learn what it means to make decisions that point people to Jesus and to turn people to the known God in our lives. Father, not only have You made Yourself known, but You sent Your own Son, Jesus, to come and live among us, Lord. And today, Lord, may knowing Jesus be our highest priority, Lord. May the words of the next hymn that we sing truly come from our heart, that knowing You, Jesus, is the greatest thing. All the things that this world affords will fade away. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this together. Sing it as a prayer.
All I want is held dear. Build my life upon all this world reveals and walls to own. All I was taught to gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this.
Knowing You.
Knowing You, Jesus, knowing You, there is no greater thing. You're my all, You're the best, You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love You.
Desires to know You more.
Now my heart's desire is to know You more, to be found in You and known as Yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing and I love You, Lord.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.